Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Big Orange Wagon Podcast alongside Tyler Milner, executive producer of The Drive on Sports Radio 610, 2 to 6 p.m. every day. I am Patrick Creighton, host of Area 45, 7 to 11 p.m. every night on Sports Radio 610. The Big Orange Wagon, your source for all things Astros. And, you know, Tyler, we got a couple of things to get to today. Number one, Justin Verlander making his second start back with the organization and the importance of Verlander in being able to create the six-man rotation.
The old man, he's back.
You know, and look, I can't say whether Verlander is going to pitch like a star, pitch like a middling pitcher, give you a little bit of both. But whatever it is, his ability to go out and give you five innings and extend the rotation to six men is probably the most important thing here. Because, look, you saw Renel Blanco. It seems like every time he gets past the fifth inning, the wheels start to come off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if he's at 70 pitches, if he's at 80 pitches. After he gets to the fifth inning, the wheels are starting to come off.
Up until that point, though, he's still being a badass.
Yeah, he's still holding teams to one and two runs, you know, through those five innings before the trouble starts in the sixth. And look, this is clearly fatigue. He is in uncharted territory.
Never been here.
He is. I mean, his velocity is down 3 to 4 miles an hour on his fastball.
Oh, I didn't know that. Normally. I know it was down like one or two weeks ago.
He usually throws 95, 96, and he's throwing 92, 93. Whew. And sometimes it's 91. So, you know, I love Blanco because of the fact he's such a bulldog. It doesn't matter that his velocity is down. It doesn't matter that he's tired. He goes out there and he battles his ass off and he fights for you. And right now, five innings is about what he can get. And, you know, Joe Espada is going to have to understand every time you put Blanco into the sixth inning, if you don't have a reliever ready to go to start that inning, that's on you.
Yeah, you're making a mistake.
And the first batter that gets on, it's time to go because that's where the wheels come off.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving you the five innings that you need.
You can't even be mad at him. You've reiterated over and over, but this dude's arm has never experienced this kind of mileage. I mean, you can't even get mad at the guy.
No, and you have to be wary of the fact that if you push him too hard, his arm's going to be dead next year, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have enough depth for his arm to be dead next year because, well, they got six guys who are dead.
I was about to say, are you saying, PC, there have been some injured arms in Houston this year?
Just a few, right?
Just a little bit.
You know, Spencer Arrighetti, another guy who's going into uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Hunter Brown gave you 155 innings, but after about that 100-inning mark, he pitched like a dude who was gassed.
Yeah.
And even told you after the season, I was tired. I wasn't ready to be able to throw that kind of workload. And that's why he spent the entire offseason working to change his body so that he would be able to handle that kind of workload this year. Now, so far, Hunter Brown, that has worked.
But he also knows how relevant this is. Actually, PC, just a few minutes ago on the Astros broadcast, I heard about a conversation Hunter Brown had with Julia Morales, and she said that he told him, man, this six-man rotation thing we're starting right now is big time for me and all these guys. It's huge.
It is, because really the only person who doesn't have a workload worry was Fromber.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have the workload worry with Yusei Kikuchi either, but you just brought him in. But of the guys that have been here all year, only Fromber doesn't have workload restrictions.
Yeah, don't let that sweat on his jersey fool you. He's just a sweater. He can get through it.
Dude, Fromber's a big dude, man. He's like 260 pounds. I mean, he's a horse.
First pitch sometimes, it looks like he's already run a freaking marathon, just sweat pouring off this guy.
Maybe he's a pro wrestling fan. He comes in, he's already oiled up, and you know, that grease.
Yeah,
in the hair.
Yeah, I like it.
Looking like he just came out of the gym with like a 2-hour workout. Now he's going to go whoop some ass. You know?
got to
get a little real American to come out to, you know, and we're all set.
You're on to something.
But for this, and think about this, as they get into September and they have a lot of Thursdays off, that 6-man rotation essentially means you pitch once a week. Yep. So instead of having the one extra day, you get two extra days. If all those guys have two extra days, that will make them a lot fresher when we get to October.
Yeah.
Because then that's the goal. If you get to October and all your arms die, we've seen this before, 2021. If you get to October and all your arms die, well, what was the point of pushing through the regular season?
Nauseating flashback.
You know, you got here, you know, with the car, and the car's got a blown engine and a blown tranny and four flat tires. So... You know, they need to be able to keep everything in working condition when they get to October.
You ain't lying.
So that was important. Hector Neris, we talked about him last week as a guy that, look, low risk, high reward.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't paying any of his contract because he went through waivers, went unclaimed. Mm-hmm. So the Cubbies are on the hook for all the money that he's owed. But that's a guy who, even though he didn't pitch particularly as well this year as he has in the past for the Astros, that's a guy. Look, you're bringing him in for the, 7 weeks of the major league minimum?
The return of Hector. Yeah, and I'll take that.
And Hector Neris has already been lights out.
Mm-hmm.
He's already come in, gotten big outs for them, got a big out for them last night, comes in with two on and two out, gets a big strikeout, gave him an inning and a third the day before. You know, Hector Neris looks like he is rejuvenated.
Yeah.
Pitching for the Astros. You see the swag on the mound, walking off the mound.
That's my favorite
part. He looks like the old Hector Neris to me.
Yeah, man, I love that guy's emotion. Just Hector, maybe this time, this go around with the Astros, maybe just don't like charge a batter in the batter's box like you did last time you were here. That was a little frightening, I think, for everyone involved. But no, I love his emotion on the mound, dude. Hector brings it.
That and the fact that, hey, look, like tonight, they're already three bullpen arms short. One of those is Hector Neris. Mm-hmm. Although Hector only threw four pitches yesterday. Maybe you could get him for like coming in mid-inning to get an out.
Well, looks like they're going to need it.
It would be like his third straight performance. And, you know, Abreu is 3 days. And
hey, Hector, welcome back to Houston. Now get out there and work.
You know, Josh Hader had an up-down yesterday and has worked 2 days in a row. So the back of the pen, unlikely to be available.
Spent.
So, but you look at Hector Neris and the fact that, look, when they needed a key out in the sixth inning at a point where the game was very much in the balance, this was an extremely high leverage situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Espada had no second thoughts about who he was going to. He went right to Hector Neris.
Oh, yeah. And you know Hector was embracing that uniform on again. He was feeling it.
And that tells you that Espada has full confidence in Neris to be a high leverage reliever. And the role that Rafael Montero was supposed to have this year, the guy who was going to, you know, pitch the sixth, maybe pitch the seventh when whichever of Abreu, Hader, or Presley needed the day off, or if one of those guys was going to be down for a little bit, he would ascend up. Hector Neris is now going to fill that role.
Yes, and so far so good. Keep it going, fella.
And just as well, because it looks like Taylor Scott has hit a little bit of a rough patch here after he's had a phenomenal season.
Yeah, but I haven't really thought a lot about that, but you're absolutely right.
He struggled a bit. Seth Martinez has not been as good this year.
Mm-mm.
Caleb Ort throws really hard, but if you notice the home run that he gave up yesterday.
Got out in a hurry.
Dude, that was a 98-mile-an-hour fastball in off the plate.
Oh.
The problem is it's pin frickin' straight.
Yeah.
That ball has no movement on it at all. It's a line drive coming out of his hand. And if you throw four fastballs in a row, major league hitters are going to time you.
It's going to work out much like it did.
And if there's no movement on that pitch, if you're throwing it pin straight, they're going to get it. And that's what happened. He got got.
100%.
And that's some, you know, velocity is great. But if there is no movement and you don't have command of that ball, velocity sometimes means it's a great home run for the other guy.
Oh, yeah. Little back contacts in that thing a long way. It makes me think of Dotel back in the day, who had stretches of being a great Astro. Do not mishear me. But I do remember seasons for him where he lacked kind of the movement he needed, and he was throwing so hard, these guys were like bunting the ball over the fence.
You know, that and when Dotel's slider flattened out,
yes,
it was not good. But a guy who had great stuff, a high-velocity reliever.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Astros to be able to pick up a guy like Hector Neris literally off the scrap heap, it's almost like the Cubs were saying, hey, we'll be your farm system.
Right.
Like, hey, we're still trying to win even though we're out of it. We're still trying to win, but we don't want to pay his salary next year. So here's our closer. We're putting him on the market. And sure enough, the LA Dodgers just kind of did the same thing with Jason Hayward. Now, Jason Hayward hasn't had a lot of at-bats. He's only had about 170 or so at bats this year.
It's been kind of MIA.
And he's not been hit. He hasn't hit for a great average. Only hit about 208 or so because, you know, doesn't have a lot of at bats, has not had a lot of consistent playing time. But this is a guy who is a year removed from an OPS over 800 and still is a strong fielder with a big arm.
Great beard.
And has shown, you know, the power where he's got six homers and, you know, a bunch of doubles in that 170 or so at bats.
Yeah.
And while you look at him and you go, man, his OPS is like 698, which is a little bit lower than league average, right? Just a little bit. But he hasn't had a whole lot of
playing time. It's not like Jose Abreu.
And his last at bat for the Dodgers was a three-run homer that won the game.
Oh, that's nice little thing to come into to Houston with, riding on. I like that.
So, Jay Hay coming to the Houston Astros and likely to be playing corner outfield very soon. And the expectation is that Chas McCormick is going to be optioned to Triple A Sugarland.
And, you know, I love to hear that. I hate it for him overall. I love to hear that, though, because Chas just needs regular at-bats. This guy is not right up top in the dome. Go back down to Sugarland, man. I know it sucks, but get right and come back. We all love Chas,
and, you know? And that's it. That's something that I wish they'd have done like 3 months ago, but
yeah,
you know, the injury to Kyle Tucker,
we talked about it,
and the fact that, you know, they gave Pedro Leon all of 20 at bats.
Yeah.
Joey Loperfido was in and out. You know, they had Cooper Hummel up for a cup of coffee. They've tried a handful of different guys. Chas hasn't been able to hit. Doobie hasn't been able to hit.
Yep.
And they're looking for, you know, look, they kind of got a little lightning in a bottle with Ben Gamel, who is in 400 since he's come to the Houston Astros. And that's a guy who can play both corners. And, you know, look, he's a league average player. He's he's not a star, but he will give you solid defense. He's not a star, you know, outfielder. He doesn't cover a ton of room. He doesn't have great speed. He doesn't have a cannon arm, but he has a solid arm. And he makes the plays he's supposed to make. Jason Hayward is kind of going to be the same way. He has a little bit better range than Gamel, but big arm.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can get him, he's supposed to be another left-handed batter, which you're trying to get more balance in your lineup there. So it's a move that makes sense. Again, no risk because he's cleared waivers. So all his money is, you know, being paid by the Dodgers. And the Astros are going to wind up paying him, you know, 7 weeks of the bare minimum. And
sure. I like the move, man, to be honest. I mean, not overly, but I'm very good with it. You're talking about a 35-year-old veteran that you've seen in big moments do big things, and you're talking about the 2024 Astros, as we mentioned repetitively, because it's just the way this season has gone. The amount of injuries, what you're dealing with Kyle Tucker, and everything going on just health-wise with the Astros and just lacking pure bodies. I am totally on board with this. Come on, Jay Hay, let's see what you got.
Now, ideally, you know, Chas is something that we've talked about, you know, sending him down before. The idea of him being able to go down to Sugarland, get regular at bats, find his stroke, find his confidence, and be able to come back up, say, at the end of September, looking like a different player who is ready to be a contributor on this team in the postseason.
Yes.
This is a guy who, I mean, people forget what Chas has done. for this team because they look at how bad he's been this year. And even Chaz is, you know, kind of...
he said he's got to stop being a bitch.
He did. He's kind of beside himself. Like I don't know why I'm not hitting. This is a guy who had an 842 OPS and a 130 OPS plus last year. He had 22 homers and 19 steals, and people were thinking 25-25 for him this year. Mm-hmm. And he probably was too. And his fall off has been stark. And for the people out there who are like, see, this is why Dusty didn't play him every day.
Get the hell
out of
here,
number one, you're a jackass. Number two, Dusty played him 403 at bats last year. Now, he should have played him 600. But when you have an 842 OPS and you're one of the best hitters on the team that year, you deserve to play.
Yes. And if you're out there, if you're an Astros fan out there and you need a moment to be able to identify with a professional athlete playing at the very top of their profession, like Chaz McCormick is with the Astros in Major League Baseball, man, go look at some of his recent comments about how he's feeling about his play, because this dude's beating the crap out of himself. Do not mishear me. It is not an excuse. I hate weak-ass fandom. I want my guys to play good and play good all the time, and it drives me crazy when they don't. But if you need to know that these athletes are actual human beings like yourself, just go look at Chaz McCormick's recent comments. He knows he's sucking. He knows it's on him, and he knows he's got to fix it. So now we just got to root for Chaz. Go down to Sugarland, get right, and get ready for October, like you said, PC.
And look, when you're in a prolonged slump like this, you get on yourself. It gets in your head.
Oh, 100%.
And that mental attitude on it just like stacks up, and you dig yourself a deeper and deeper hole. Being able to go down to Sugarland, take the pressure off of him, you know, hopefully gives him a chance to mentally reset as well as physically reset, because the biggest thing for him this year is that he's missing fastballs. Chaz has always been a dead red hitter, and he's a guy who shows opposite field power, and he drills fastballs.
Oppo Taco.
He's not hitting any fastballs this year.
He's not.
And that's the part that doesn't make sense, because, you know, it's not like, oh, all of a sudden his bat speed is super slow. He's just missing.
Yep.
And, you know, your timing is off. I don't know. Maybe he needs to get LASIK.
LASIK, like banana pudding,
it's
something.
It's happened before, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the guys at Chick-fil-A need to go get that banana pudding shake and just bring him one every single day.
I still have not had one of those, and now I just realized it. Now I need one very badly.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling that's going to be on the agenda very, very shortly.
Dude, I forgot about that.
Feel pretty good. There's a Chick-fil-A at IAH, so when I get on a plane early tomorrow morning, probably going to stop at the old CFA and be like,
yeah, you're going
to New York. I need some breakfast. And you know what? How about a banana pudding shake?
Hey, who says you can't have dessert for breakfast? That's, I mean, that's right. All what donuts are anyway. It's fine.
And nobody ever says you can't have donuts for breakfast.
That's a fact. I had donuts for breakfast this morning.
Donuts
actually
are glorious.
It's so good.
Except when you're hitting, then you don't want a donut. Then donuts are bad.
Come on, Jazzy.
But so Jason Hayward, be on this team pretty shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the number one thing for Chaz is to get himself right so that he can come back up here and be a factor in the postseason. That's going to make Mauricio Dubon your backup center fielder, as well as your backup everything. So just add backup center fielder to Mauricio Dubon. And let me tell you, so happy to find out Doobie was in the lineup tonight, not feeling long-term effects.
Ooh.
That catch that he made the other night where he sprinted 130 feet.
That was a car crash, my friend.
Into the corner in left field at Camden Yards, fully knowing he was going to eat the wall.
Laying it all on the line.
He knew he was going to eat the wall. He had a choice there.
10-11. In the air, left field, off the bat of Arias. That one well struck towards the corner. Oh! How about Dubon? Racing forever and then crashes hard into the wall.
He could have made a business decision and slowed down, decided, you know what, I'll get it. Maybe I won't get it. If I don't get it, you know, I'll play it off the wall or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
He chose, I'm going to put it all out there. I'm going to make that play and I'm going to feel the punishment of eating the wall in a full sprint.
Yeah, man, that's dedication.
That is stones.
Yes.
Okay, that is stones. When you know you are literally running full speed into a freaking wall.
That's big old plums for Doobie.
And it does not change the fact that you are going to do it. That is massive stones. Nothing but respect for Mauricio Dubon, who laid it out for his team, ate that wall, and fell like a ton of bricks. And somehow, some way, not only missed one game, but actually was trying to fight Espada not to take him out. No, I'm fine. Let me hit. Just like, hey, you know what? You just ate the wall at like 30 miles an hour. Yeah. Why don't you take a little rest here?
Yeah, we already got one guy with what I can only assume is in need of a shin transplant. So Dubon, we got to keep you healthy, my man. But hell of a play. One of the best we've seen in a long time from the Astros. That was fun to watch.
Hey, latest update on Kyle Tucker. He has progressed to sprinting.
What? He's sprinting.
He's sprinting.
Oh my gosh.
Now, the fact that they said sprinting leads me to believe that he's running wind sprints, right? He's doing like straight line wind sprints.
Yeah.
But this is progress because up until today, he was not really running.
I know he was being facetious, but it is a big deal. It is a big deal.
He was doing the ray gun bunny hops, but he wasn't, he wasn't running full speed. And now he's running full speed. The hope is that he can then progress to running the bases. And at that point, go out on a rehab assignment. Now, he hasn't played in 3 months.
Over 85 days. Holy hell.
I really hope they don't pull the, okay, Kyle, go have two games in Sugarland with like five at-bats and you're good. Because having him come up to the majors and his timing's not right isn't going to help him, isn't going to help the team.
It could make things worse.
So
yeah,
they need him to find his swing since he hasn't played for so long. That's going to probably take a week.
Yeah, at least.
I mean, they really should give him a week in Sugarland to get 20 or so at bats.
Yeah.
And, you know, and get his timing and get his feel before they bring him back up. They're the Astros, so we never know.
Cosign. Make the right choice, Astros. Make the right choice.
All right. So we'll be back with another big Orange Wagon next week on Tuesday. I am going to be traveling out of town, so I will not be here, but I will be watching plenty of Astros baseball thanks to my Fubo TV and my VPN. So appreciate the good old interwebs.
Yeah. Safe travels, my friend.
Appreciate my man Tyler Milner, the executive producer of The Drive with Stern and Hughley, every day from 2 to 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 610. I am Patrick Creighton, host of Area 45, 7 to 11 p.m. on Sports Radio 610. Make sure you like and subscribe to the Big Orange Wagon podcast anywhere that you get your podcast, and we will see you on Tuesday. Go Astros!
Choo-choo, hop on the wagon, MFers! That's that train coming.